Let me just, I just want to switch to Mr. Kinnear for one second. Could you, being that we're talking about the money area, could you talk about if we were to build the manned booth that was crash-proof, you know, because we gave wide ranges of costs, could you fine-tune that a little bit more after we've now seen the test pit, et cetera?
Yeah, I think what I did is we're at the point where we actually have some construction drawings worked out for the manned booth with all the security measures. And I gave it to a contractor who is a disinterested contractor. He would not be bidding on the job. He's just someone I've worked with for many years. And his total budget was about in the $90,000 range. And that was for the fully secured booth that could withstand being hit by a truck. That's the bulletproof glass. Has all the features we're talking about. Part of the discussion was, well, what if it was a booth, but there was never going to be a person in the booth? How much of a savings would that be? I would say that would only be about a 20% savings, because we still have to do all that construction underground, and we still would want it to look appropriate to the park. So I would say that we're probably, by going to bid, we're probably looking at about, you know, let's say $75,000 for the construction of the secure booth. Plus, on top of that would be the equipment, the cameras, the technology.
What's that number?
We're estimating maybe in the $25,000 range.
May I?
All right. Yes, go ahead.
I mean, with all due respect, you know, making a blanket statement that we have the money and it's covered, there are some contingencies that I just want to share with the public. I looked at the numbers, and they're, according to Debbie, she cautioned us that there were a number of bills outstanding on this cycle. Alan, you might be able to address this, but I know one's Bill Faircloth, and he hasn't sent us an invoice in 6 months.
No, that's not true.
Okay.
That's not true.
Okay. But does he owe us a bill?
Just, he owes us a bill for the last work that he's been doing over the last, I think, 30 days. Correct, Alan?
No, it's a little longer.
Like 45?
It's the carpentry, the shoebarking, and the crop sealing.
Right, so.
But I have a handle on it.
Yes.
Okay, so there's no, you know, we don't know what that number is, and there's other bills coming in.
I think that's the only outstanding bill we have is Bill Faircloth.
My only point is to say we have it covered without having firm bids, and that we still have bills outstanding. I think it's better to say, I mean, I would characterize it as we think we may have this, but we're not sure. And, you know, we really should analyze the numbers. That would be my recommendation when they all come in, before we make a decision on what booth option to vote for. And I also think that it's probably, maybe Alan can speak to this too, but it's probably too late to start construction on a booth option 3 at this point. May have to put it off till next year.
Alan, John, would you like to?
Well, that would depend on how quick you get the plans and how quick you can go up to the look
there.
And if the sewer line needs moving.
Well,
there's a cost.
I have no idea how deep that sewer line is, or if it wouldn't be just wise to replace it and then put a casing around it so it never has to be replaced and won't get slipped down. Yeah, I mean, there's ways around.
Just to be clear, your $90,000 is the top right booth, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
John, this does not include technology.
No. I said there was I made an estimate of about $25,000. We may have a different number.
Yeah. And then, but we also would not, as you can see, there's a much longer barrier in the front of the booth. That would not be that long because that starts going into town property. That would be much smaller than what we're seeing. So there has been some adjustments.
Correct.
From the original rendering. These are just renderings of the original, but the overall architecture would be complementing, if not almost identical, to the existing buildings that are there to make sure the integrity of the entrance of the park is kept.
Well, how much smaller? You can't talk design. I mean, we really should see what it is. than we?
Yeah, the difference is that right now...
Is it 15 feet? Is it 20 feet?
Right now, we propose going out from the booth 17 feet. The booth is in the exact location it was before. The town property line is about 8 foot in front of the booth. So this would be moved back and would be 8 foot from the booth so that we're not getting involved with the town.
Sorry, so you're moving the new guardhouse further back
with
the park?
No, just out front park. Just the planter, just this.
Just the planter.
So you're shortening the planter?
Yes.
Correct.
So you're just, the planter's basically on the property line?
Correct.
Just what you're saying? Mm-hmm. Okay.
John, correct me if I'm wrong, where the island sits right now, the outside of the island is 3 feet from the town property line that belongs to the township. Can we push up all the way against to that town line?
Well, the town line is 8 foot from where the booth is currently.
So right, before the island is, it's only 3 feet at the bottom.
No, the line, if I drew a line right across here, yeah. 8 foot from the existing booth, that would be the town line. So we're not going to cross the town line.
We can push up against it, though.
We can push up against it with the planter.
Claudio, as I recall, the stone wall that now exists that the woman hit
yep.
is on the town line.
So how does the intersection taking a right coming out of those gates compare to what you have visualized right there? And the traffic coming in off of 17?
Nothing has changed. The roadways remain the same, coming off of 17.
The only thing that will change is that we will have an arm that when you're driving out of the park, there's now going to be an arm that you'll be activating when you're driving on the asphalt. It'll trigger that arm to go up. It'll also help you slow down a little bit. There's been a concern that traffic exiting the park is very fast. There will be a roadway change, whether it be Belgian block, something that will also make you aware you're needing to slow down a bit. So, you know, and that will be aesthetically appropriate for the setting. So, which also, it will also protect people that are going back and forth between the buildings, that you can also stop the two arms from going to allow you to cross, which will be, you know, something that we shouldn't always rely on. You always should be looking left and right, but it will be more than what we have right now.
And there'll be a camera that will be able to take a picture of the cars leaving, so you'll have a record of everybody that's leaving also, in case someone's gotten in from some one of these other access points to the park that we were just discussing tonight.
So the planter's how high off the roadway?
About like this.
It's 4 feet high?
3.5 foot.
So what's going to happen when the plow comes through in a 2 foot snowstorm and plows the snow up against it?
They'll have to plow in the other direction. They'll just have to keep the snow away from it.
The snow right now gets pushed away from it.
Yeah, I mean, you don't...
I've got how it's pushed away now, but you're increasing the problem by building the planter even longer.
No, the planter's getting shorter.
I got that. But the point of the matter is the planter creates a problem with the plow and the clearing of the road.
Yeah. Is the planter getting shorter? It's getting shorter in your design, but it's not getting shorter given the current situation.
The booth is exactly the same width that it is now. Right. We're not encroaching on the roadway at all.
We're talking about the front going east. How long is that from where the booth ends right now?
8 foot.
8 feet. So it's going to be the same.
Yeah.
It's identically the same.
Yeah.
What you have now is it's going to be, the footprint's going to be identically the same. It's just the barrier is really going to be more crash proof than it's ever been.
Yeah. Comment, since this is such a public building in the face of our village, will this be going through the bar, I hope?
We will have people that will be looking at that from the bar.
Well, you mean there's going to be a formal bar? When you say looking at it, what does that mean?
I don't know. We haven't gotten that far yet.
We have to discuss.
We'll discuss that.
Okay, well, I'd like to put on record that I hope it goes before the bar.
Okay.
I agree.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to because it's a village building. We can have a hybrid where the bar helps the VOT, or we can put it completely in the bar's hands and let the bar decide. These are all things we need to decide on.
Are we not going to need variances from the town as to being close to their line? Have we looked into that?
We're not going to need any, as long as we stay off their property, we will not need anything.
There's no...
So, and that's what, you know, John Ledwith will, you know, be over 6 feet.
I will check into the setbacks. Obviously, the booth structure will not be that close, but depending upon how far the planter extends, even in our village, fences can't be so many feet, or walls can't be so many feet from the property line.
That's a good.
So I'll check on that with the town.
And John Ludwig will be very much part of the whole process because, you know, he'll be inspecting it all. Any other questions? Yes.
Hi, this is just to Alan McHugh. You had said that you felt at 8:00 in the morning, because you might have to stand in line or be in line with your car, that you want all these commercial vehicles to go to the back gate? If they're all gonna go to the back gate, are you gonna man the back gate? Because you cannot have anybody coming through the back gate as it is now without a tag. So you're gonna have all these commercial vehicles go through that gate?
We obviously own the structure back there, so it's something, if you want to address one issue, you have to solve it with somewhere else, which is either the north or the south gate.
So if you're gonna solve that issue with the south gate, I don't even know where the north gate is, but with the south.
It doesn't exist.
Sewage plant.
Sewage plant.
So if you're gonna have all these commercial vehicles that come in, you don't even know what's in them. You're not gonna have anyone there looking at them.
No, it would be manned.
They're just gonna all come through. So you're gonna have a man gate, the south gate, just so you have a better traffic flow?
Theoretical, not practically, but nothing's been discussed about the issue of a lot of gated communities have commercial vehicles going through a different entrance in order to enhance the appeal for the residents and their guests coming in the main thoroughfare.
At 8:00 in the morning, is that your problem?
Nothing's gonna come through the south gate, though.
Well.
Anything commercial will go through the sewage plant.
So, I mean, that to me would be absolutely ludicrous. If you're gonna have a gatehouse in the front, you better put one in the back, too, if that's gonna be the situation.
He was just speaking, though, in theory. This is not something that we're doing, just to put your mind at ease. Any other comments or questions? Yes.
Well, just one thing that you said at the meetings I've been to, they said how the traffic guards are afraid because they look like police and everyone thinks they're police and it's dangerous. And then you said it's good to have a police there because you need them for the safety. But if there's a uniformed traffic guard and it serves the same purpose, I don't understand why we would need an armed officer.
The difference is they're not trained. The police officers are trained for most, I think they had to go on call, but they're trained to deal with situations where a traffic guard, and I've heard this from many of the traffic guards as well as the former trustees, they're not trained. They wouldn't know what to do.
Didn't they just have a panic button? They could contact the police?
But a lot of times, their nerves would kick in, and that's the problem. When the booth went down and the gentleman was stuck, he was, you know, he was a young, you know, wasn't a teenager, but he was a young adult. There was a panic that goes in.
But that happened like once in 50 years, so.
But there's other situations that happen. There's things that sometimes some of us may not know what's going on, and I'm sure the chief may contest to this, that we may not know, but those officers are trained to deal with those situations, whereas the traffic guard is not at all. And they were wearing a uniform that made them look like a police officer, and sometimes they would be confronted about situations, but they weren't able, if anything would have happened, they would not have been able to defend themselves.
I say put them in a concierge outfit.
Yeah, that was the problem. They were dressed to look like police.
But then isn't that what the bulletproof glass would be for? So that you could have someone that's not armed in there.
There's a big difference between a trained officer and a traffic guard. And if you're wanting the security and you're wanting the safety and all the things that come, you know, and yes, there is, you know, we want that other element of face-to-face, and we're gonna have to find that mix, and we'll get there.
I mean, I'm gonna say something here. I looked through the roster the past 3, 4, 5 years of who was a traffic guard and what they did. A lot of them are college students. Some college kid there at night studying, watching TV. One was asleep. I was shocked. I was really, really shocked. And I tell you, the security is much stronger now than it's ever been. Please believe me. Having a college kid, you know, sleeping the night in the booth is not where we want to be.
We also had full-time people, not just college kids.
Yes.
Just a question for clarification for me. You've got two full-time people, and then you have a number of part-time people that fill in?
Yes.
No, three full-time.
Three full-time
officers, a police chief, then part-time.
I got two here, wait.
Three, including the police chief and then...
No.
No.
Three officers.
Three full-time police officers plus your chief.
And then part-timers.
Okay, you have Officer Sutherland, Officer Ashione, Detective Tabak, Police Chief Melchior.
And are they, well...
And then you have your part-timers.
And then you have the part-timers, and do, are they paced around at different times of the day?
Yes, scheduled.
Okay, good, okay. And then you've got part-timers. I just want to clarify for myself something, because what I'm hearing, and I hesitate to even comment, but what I'm hearing, there seems to have been a big perception of safety that in actual fact, times have changed, there's no question, there's a lot more technology and all that, and yet I think so many of us that are in this community value this ability and the personal treatment and that sort of thing that attracted everybody here. So I think there was more, I'm getting a sense that there was a perception of safety that may not have been actual, and there was so little crime that it really never manifested as a problem. So now you've got really trained people, which is great, and as it should be, but they're coming from a totally different orientation, as well they should, so they're very, there's a more rigid sense, so going from here to there is being rough on people. I mean, that's right. What I'm feeling yes. here.
And that's where we're needing to
and so where's,
get there.
So how do you bridge that? And then call, maybe, like, just, I mean, I know this to oversimplify, but maybe, like the people, there's no room for the people calling and screaming about, like, you can't make a call for me. I mean, that's ridiculous. But maybe you do a handbook of vetted people of who, so everybody in the village has, here's who's recommended, here's this, so everybody has that by their phone. But more importantly, the concierge aspect, do people want to be called? When I first moved here, which wasn't that long ago, it was a few years ago, and only part-time, but I used to call and say I was expecting someone because that's what I thought the deal was. Mm-hmm. And it kind of blew away and it just went away and I don't care, you know, I mean, it was fine, all is well, or has been well. But if that is something that maybe the part-time people in the booth who maybe are retired or, you know, from a different time zone, they're not full-time with one scope of work that they're focusing on, maybe those people could have a little more flexibility in the booth, put the part-timers in there to address to bridge the civility gap, but identify what they can do and not do, and have those, maybe they would be a little more amenable to those niceties that we are used to, and just an idea.
Yep, these are the protocols the chief is talking about.